At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Want to talk about a new movie? Check. Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
I'm sure everybody is saying that. It's been what a crazy last few years. I just came to a conclusion in summer to just stop worrying about things I can't control and to just try to do an act of kindness, try to make somebody happy every day. And that's really just helped me feel like, at least by the end of the day, I did X amount of good things. I touch X amount of people's lives in some way or whatever. And because it is, you do feel helpless as an artist. You're like, what can an artist do? You know? And so that's been what I've been doing for the last 6-7 months has been really helping me kind of do that.
What Else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
My guest is an animator, illustrator, director, writer, producer. Over the last 20 years, his work has brought some of the world's most beloved characters to life in film, television, comics, and video games. From Casper the Friendly Ghost, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, to Star Trek and Spider-Man, he's worked alongside Disney, Universal Studios, Nickelodeon, and more. In 2000, he founded the Blue Dream Studios, which has worked alongside Star Wars, X-Files, Aliens vs. Predator, Spider-Man, and other franchises. In addition to creating its own line of kids' graphic novels, the studio's first feature film, Animal Crackers, available now on Netflix, was the summer of 2020's number one animated movie in the world. You can follow his adventures on social media at SSAVAART. My guest is Scott Christian Sava.
Because I just jumped right off of Alive and into this. So my wife was making some scones because I haven't had breakfast. So, but she's in her pajamas. So she says, can you pause the recording, the video? So I will do that. But you can say hi to her.
I will look away. I will look away. Scott Christian Sava, what a pleasure to finally meet you in person.
It is my pleasure to be here. Thanks, Corey.
I'm going
to
go out on a limb. Both you and I are superhero fans, and I'll assume you like origin stories. So let's start with yours. I find out a lot about people when I ask this question. Who's mom and dad?
Mom was a fashion illustrator. She is Assyrian. My grandparents came from Iran. Her brother was a famous My Uncle Ray was a famous illustrator, and their uncle was an artist. So the art came from that side of the family. And my dad was number 12 of 13 kids. His parents came from Palermo, Sicily. He was somebody who had 100 different jobs. He fixed elevators. He developed photography. He was an engineer. He was a mechanic. He did everything. And I got from him my lack of fear of failing, because he was fearless.
Did he point you in the direction of, Scott, try this, do that?
Yeah, he was the one who, when I was in college, I was going to art school. He was the one who sent me, or not sent me, but he showed me the, like a wanted ad, you know, because it was back in the 1990, they had wanted ads in a newspaper, and they were looking for, Sega of America was looking for animators, and I had no experience with computers. I had no experience with animation. He says, you should try out for this. And it never occurred to him that I was in no way qualified for that. You're an artist. They're looking for artists. Animation, art, same thing. You should go try it. And there's my wife.
Take a bite of that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look here so you can see. This is the scone she made.
Scone-tastic.
I'm going to have to take a few breaks so I can eat some of that more. I grew up with that, and I guess that's just a part of me, is to just try anything. And so over the years, I've tried everything. You know, I've been a game designer, an animator. I've made movies, books. I love trying new things, you know, as far as artistically. I love trying new things, and I got that from him.
Do you remember seeing Mom doing her illustrating and her work? Can you remember that with your mind's eye?
She quit doing the fashion illustration when she had me and my sister, but she would paint stuff for us. One of my favorite things that she painted was, I'd always get scared. I'd always have nightmares as a kid. She took my favorite Spider-Man cover. It was Spider-Man fighting Electro, and she painted it life-size on my closet door. And she goes, okay, Spider-Man's going to protect you now, so you don't have to come and get me in the, you know, every night. And I just remember this life-size Spider-Man punching Electro. And she did this just wonderful painting on it. And she always, whenever throughout my career and throughout my, you know, growing up, she was always there to nudge me artistically in directions. And so she kept me honest with my art, and she made sure that my proportions were good, and, you know, look in the mirror here and show, look at this. And she's brutal. She's brutal with, I don't like it. I don't like that. You know, she's my biggest fan and my worst critic, you know? So, and it's made me a better artist.
Was that hard for you, Scott, when your mom, your beloved, is your toughest critic? Like, did you find yourself, I've got to please this woman one way or another?
No. I think that was just a blend between me and my mom and my dad, was I could take the criticism and it didn't bother me. I think there's that logical side that just says, I know she's doing it because she loves me. She's not doing it to be mean. She's doing it to make me a better artist. And so it never bothered me. It bothers my wife and my kids, or anybody, you know, my family, other family members, much more, because they see it and they feel for me. But it just rolls off my back, because, I mean, I know her. I know she's not doing it in a mean-spirited way.
Where was home base? Where were you born?
I was born in Yonkers, New York. When I was 4, we moved to Florida. Then when I was 12, we moved to San Jose, California. We were there till my wife and I got married in 1993. And I think 1994, we moved down to Los Angeles. We were there for 15 years. And 15 years ago, we moved to Franklin, Tennessee. And that's where we are now.
You know, your dad showed you that Sega wanted ad. Did you end up working for Sega?
I did. It was it was so funny, because I was a junior in college. And I walked in, and there was, I don't know, maybe 20 people, other artists with their portfolios. You wait your turn to meet with, it was Mark Cerny, who was the head of the company. He looked through my portfolio, which was illustrations. You know, was there? I had no experience whatsoever. I had no reason. I had never used a computer. I had no reason to be there. But he treated me like everybody else, because, and everybody was much older too. He says, oh, well, I gave everybody a challenge just to see how you take direction. You know, I want you to come back on Monday and, you know, I want you to draw me an apple. And I was like, oh, okay. So this was Thursday or Friday. On the way out, I noticed that they were working on the Warren Beatty and Madonna Dick Tracy. They were working on a game for that, for the Sega Genesis. And so I said to myself, I was like, oh, well, let me go in and make a painting for the cover. And so I went to the newsstand. I found photos from whatever magazines were given some behind the scenes or whatever publicity shots. And over the weekend, I did an illustration of Dick Tracy and all of the bad guys and, you know, Al Pacino. And you know, and so when I came in on Monday, I handed him the apple and I said, oh, and by the way, I illustrated the cover for your video game if you want to. And he kind of laughed and said, I like your moxie, kid. And that's how I got the internship. And so I kind of got it on gumption.
Can you remember the first time you started drawing and creating on your own?
I have all of my drawings from when I was a kid. So I was maybe around 6 or 7 or 8.
Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
All of my oldest drawings are centered around Spider-Man. So I think seeing the old cartoon really sparked something to where when we were at the grocery store or the drugstore, I would ask for comic books. I would come home with the comic books and I would copy them. And I just found that I was really good at drawing what I see. And so from there, I got a little sketchbook and I would fill it up. And you could see the difference between when I was drawing out of my head and when I would draw what I would see, what I was seeing. It was light years difference. And ever since then, I've always had a sketchbook and I can track my progress, but I can, in, you know, as I look at them, I can tell what stuff I was trying to just draw out of my head. Cause I always wanted that ability. And that was something that, to be the artist on Spider-Man, you really had to be able to draw out of your head. You have to come up with Dr. Octopus and Electro and what, you know, those are not real people that you can reference. Spider-Man wasn't a real person you could reference. And so I just, for years and years and years, I kept trying and trying and trying, but just did not have that ability. And so you can always see when I was looking at a photo or somewhere, you know, looking at something in real life, or, and then when I was trying to do it out of my head, and I just never let those two never were equal.
Who told you you could draw and you finally believed them?
It would have had to have been my mom. There was no epiphany moment at a later age. It was my mom and my dad encouraging me from when I was a kid. I mean, they sent me to art school.
Where'd you go?
I went to the Academy of Art in San Francisco. I was an illustration major. There was no comic book classes, you know, so it was the closest thing I could get. But I always had family members encouraging me to be an artist, and I think it was because we had artists in our family. But because we had artists in our family, they always knew it was not an easy industry to make a living. It's funny because I look back on all the times my family, cousins and my parents and my in-laws and even neighbors have had to help us financially just make it through, you know, years, bad years. I think having a musician or an artist of any kind in your family means the rest of the family kind of has to step up and help out, you know, when things get rough. It's very touching to see that, to see the family support the arts in that way, you know, locally, and to show that they believe in you, even when the rest of the world doesn't.
I'm a young kid drawing, and I would gravitate towards certain characters. So I would get on a Hulk, Season of Life, then Spider-Man, then Popeye, then Garfield, anything Don Martin would draw in Mad Magazine. I would just try to
love Don Martin.
Right?
I actually finally bought an original, just a sketch. But I got an original because I have so many copies of Don Martin from when I was a kid.
I had to make some decisions in life on what was next. And I told my dad, I want to go draw for Disney. I want to be an animator. I think there's something there. And he said, you know what? There's no future in that. It doesn't pay. Consider something else like the military.
Aww.
And because he was such a authoritative figure in my life, I'm like, yeah, you must be right. I love your Spider-Man story. After following you on TikTok, I came across that Spider-Man story and I was so motivated and encouraged. And I'm wondering if you would share that with this podcast audience.
Absolutely. Thank you. I am glad that you found me too. I'm glad that sometimes TikTok gets it right and they pair up the right people.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
As I said, I grew up with Spider-Man. By the time I was in high school, I just had it in my heart that I wanted to be the artist on Spider-Man. That was my career. I want to be the artist on Spider-Man. When I was around 15, I started going to local comic book conventions and bringing my art. And I would get rejected, as most 15-year-olds do. Keep at it, learn your anatomy, get better at perspective, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I got married. We moved down to Los Angeles. I got a job working for Malibu Comics. So that was a step in the right direction. I was doing Star Trek covers. Because I was an illustrator, I was doing painted covers. It was cool, but it wasn't Spider-Man. And so every year, I would go in, I would get rejected. We'd go to Comic-Con in San Diego, I would get rejected. It wasn't until it was the mid-90s, I was doing Power Rangers, I did Casper the Friendly Ghost movies, I'm an animator now. Didn't really mean anything to me because I wanted to be the artist on Spider-Man. I went to Comic-Con, I think it was probably 98 or 99, and I met Marv Wolfman, who created Blade and Teen Titans, and Len Wein, who created Swamp Thing and Wolverine. They were good friends. They lived locally. And I just told him, I said, you know, hey, I've got this Spider-Man novel that you wrote back in the 70s. Can I adapt it? And they said, absolutely. I said, would you help me get my dream job? And they said, we'd love to. I mean, they're just the nicest people. And so for the next couple of years, I worked up illustrations, more of a painterly style rather than trying to do the black and white pen and ink. Still got rejected, you know. And around that time, Alex Ross's Marvels came out, or Kingdom Come, and they were like, can you do it more of an Alex Ross style? I was like, no, I was doing colored pencils at the time. I wasn't doing watercolors. So it was 2001, and Marv said, why don't you try this? We've tried every possibility, every variation of art. We've tried cartoony. We've tried more realistic. We've done this. We've done that. Why don't you try taking your day job, which is animation, and apply it to comics? And my initial answer was, but it's not art. It's computers. It's not art. He's like, just try it. And so I, you know, spent a few weeks or months or however long it took to prepare a couple pages of Dr. Octopus fighting Spider-Man. we went to Comic-Con that year, and Marv turned it in. He handed it to Axel Alonso, the editor there, and we didn't hear back anything because it's Comic-Con, it's really busy, and if I wasn't standing right there and he could give me a portfolio review, which they're usually so busy to do, it was, I'll take this and I'll look at it later. Well, it wasn't until a couple months later that I got a call, and it was Axel Alonso, and the phone rang, and it was you know, back in the days of caller ID was a new thing, and so it said Marvel Comics on the thing, and I freaked out. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So I picked it up and it was Axel Alonso, and he just went right to it. He goes, Scott, it's Axel from Marvel Comics. He goes, I just want to say I finally took a look at what Marv gave me and I think it's fantastic. I think this would make a wonderful comic book. You know, let's do this. And are you going to be in New York anytime soon? And I was like, I'll book a flight right now. I was living in Los Angeles. I will book a flight right now. And so we booked a flight. The flight was for, I think it was September 20th of 2001. It was right after 9/11. And so we were just, first we didn't know if the planes were going to resume in time. When we found out that they were, then it was just a matter of, do we feel safe? Is there going to be another attack? You know, what do we do? We're flying into New York City 8-9 days after 9/11. But I told my wife, I said, there's literally nothing that's going to stop me from getting on that plane. And so we got on the plane, we flew out there, and it was somber. I mean, as the plane circled for LaGuardia, I think is where we were landing, there was still smoke rising from the rubble. And I felt horrible because I was giddy because I'm fulfilling a childhood dream, and I didn't want to go in as a giddy teenagers, which is what I felt like. You know, I was 30 years old, you know, but I felt like a giddy teenager. And but I got there, and it was Axel Alonso and Joe Quesada and Bill Jamis, and they all just welcomed me. I don't know if it's something about that position, but I think when you work for a place like Marvel or DC and you have a new artist or new writer coming in, you have to know that that's their dream. That's you know, and I think you have that responsibility to welcome those people into those hallowed halls, you know, and they did. They treated me. They walked me around. They showed me the bullpen, and they knew that this was my dream come true. And they said, "Look, we really want to do this." And they gave me 10 months, and they paid me really well. And so I had 10 months of bliss. It's the best way I could say. I didn't leave the house. I just said, "I have 10 months." To try to figure out how to make this the best looking comic book I could with the technology that we had. Now, looking back on it, it's 20 years this year that that this happened. The comic came out in 2002, and I look back on it, and it is the best that I could have ever done. I know that I have no regrets of the quality of the art, because I know that that was the best of my abilities. It was every ounce of time that I could squeeze in, and it was every bit of computer hardware and software that was available at the time for the general public. So I look at it with pride, and I knew that if I just put everything into it, I wouldn't look back on it with any regrets, and I don't. And it holds up for me 20 years later as that. Could I do better now? Absolutely. I mean, in my mind, what I saw when I watched Into the Spider-Verse, a little tear came down my cheek, and I go, that's what I saw in my head. That's what I wanted. It had that comic book feel, and it just flowed, but I just didn't have the technology. The technology just wasn't there 20 years ago. And but yeah, if I could do it again, it would look like Into the Spider-Verse. And it was a dream come true. And I have fond memories of it. Funny enough, though, and some of my friends asked me why I'm still not making comics for Marvel. It was after I finished that, Marv and Len came to me and they said, "You did it. You fulfilled your childhood dream. Now don't do any more work for them. Don't give them any more of your ideas. Own your own intellectual properties. Create your own stories. Make your own universe. You know, don't be in a situation that we are, where we created all of these characters and all of these wonderful stories that we don't own. Own your own stuff. Own your own things." And so I took that to heart, and I started writing my own books. That's where Animal Crackers came from.
The 2017 animated movie Animal Crackers featuring characters voiced by Emily Blunt, Danny DeVito, John Krasinski, Sylvester Stallone, Gilbert Gottfried, available on Netflix as we speak. Scott, how cool is it to jump on Netflix right now and you've got an animated movie sitting right there?
It is really cool. It's funny because I'll see articles sometimes with the pandemic going on. I'll see articles where Pixar artists, Disney artists are upset that their movies like Luca are going directly to streaming. Gosh, I mean, I'm not really much of a movie theater goer, just because I'm an introvert. I don't like being around other people. I don't want to hear other people chewing their food or screaming at the screen or anything like that. I just want to focus on the film. Our film came out during the pandemic. It came out on Netflix. And because of that, it got seen by, I don't know how many tens or hundreds of millions of people. There's something about the accessibility. Cinemas seem to be, going to a movie theater seems to be more of a prestige thing. And I understand that for film buffs. There's they're walking down the red carpet and there's how much money it makes in the theaters. But for me as a storyteller, what I care about is people hearing the story. If putting my movie out on YouTube for free was an option and it wouldn't have pissed off my investors, I would have done that. I just wanted as many people as possible to see my movie. I think that should be the hope of any storyteller, of any artist, of any musician, is not about the money. It's not about the prestige. It's about getting your story out there and seeing how it affects people's lives, seeing how it touches people. That to me is the whole reason why we do it. But you make a movie and all anybody looks at is the box office numbers. They look at critical, reviews. I got a chance to, with Animal Crackers, to really see how it affected people's lives. This silly little movie, my first ever movie that has a million mistakes and everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. But kids love it. Parents love it. And I get to interact with them through social media and hear them tell me stories or they post videos of their kids dancing to the music. And I don't see how that isn't every artist's number one goal when they create something, whether it's a movie or a book or anything. I don't know how artists get lost in the numbers. And I know in my situation, I had to raise $19 million to make a movie. So I had to make back at least $19 million for my investors to be happy and hopefully to make another movie. And we did. But so I understand that making money is a part of the industry. But I just wish more artists would focus on how their art affects other people. I'd love to see other directors and other artists and other writers share more stories from people who their work is affected. I think that would, rather than, hey, look, we're number one in the box office again this week. I don't know that I don't want to sound cynical. I found that getting your art to as many people as possible is so much cooler than getting into a theater. That's all.
May I tell you part two of my story?
Please.
Years later, I have at the time a teenage daughter and a very young boy son who likes the Ninja Turtles. And so Christmas of 2015, we buy him a How to Draw Ninja Turtles book that you'd find at a store. And that infamous day after Christmas when you're kind of sitting there and all the toys are broke or you're already bored of them. And we opened up that book together and he was 8, I believe, at the time. And we started drawing together. And Scott, there was an awakening in me that had gone dormant long, long ago. I started drawing again. And so I had this little idea of I'm going to draw something every single day. It's not my job. I've got stuff that I've got to do. I've got responsibilities, but I'm going to draw every single day. And I did. And then I ended up drawing 443 things in one year.
Oh my gosh.
My accountability was I had to post it on social media. So we got to the end of that. And my 9-year-old said, now what? Wow. I'm going to do my own kid's book. I'm going to create a character. I'm going to write it. I'm going to draw it. I'm going to publish it. I have no idea how to do any of this stuff. Fast forward to a successful Kickstarter, my first book, a hardcover, 162 cartoons, all black and white, a stuffed animal line.
Congratulations. That is amazing.
It was a wonderful day. I still watch the video when the truck backed up to the house and the books came and mailing those out. And
what's the name of the book?
It's called Stuffed. It's about a bear who's in third grade and he only talked in puns. He has stitches, you know, like Build-A-Bear, when you go Build-A-Bear and they'd have stitches. And he had stitches on his chest and on his head. And I met a couple who had a son who had multiple open heart surgeries. And they got the book for him. And he opened up the book and he said, oh, this bear is me. And I said, wait a minute. What do you mean? And he said, well, he's got all these scars just like the bear has. And the remaining books that I had, Scott, I think I had 150 or 200 books left. She bought all of them and sent them to the University of Michigan to the PEDS ward for kids who have to go through that same thing. It was their welcoming book.
Wow.
And I was floored. I never thought, ever thought the connection was anything like that.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is the best use of your art. It's not about, you didn't tell me how many books you sold. You didn't tell me how much money you made. You didn't tell me how much even the Kickstarter did. You told me this story and how it affected not only this one child, but 200 others potentially, you know? And isn't that the best way to use your art? It is. I love that story.
You inspire me on a daily basis. So I want you to hear from me. When you're making your TikToks and you're on the Instagrams and you're like, is anybody watching this? Absolutely they are. Continue to do what you do. And let's wrap it up with this. What are you working on next? What are you excited about? What's the rest of the year look like for you? What are you doing?
Well, see, I just finished up my 2021 travel journal and I didn't think I'd get any travel in, but I did, which was nice. I'm writing the sequel to Animal Crackers, which I had no plans of doing, but despite the fact that I have 15 other stories, books already written, scripts written, animation done, everything ready to go, everybody really wants to see another Animal Crackers movie. And I'd love to work with John and Emily and Stallone and DeVito and everybody again. I think that would be fun. So I'm writing a sequel for that. And like I was telling you earlier, I really feel like there are days where I just, as an artist, just don't feel like I'm... When you're working on movies, you spend so much time waiting for investors or studio execs or whatever it is. You're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. You feel helpless. You feel like you have no control over the situation and what's going on with your life. I may never make another movie again. I may make 20 more movies. I just don't know. So it was this summer that I just decided, what are my talents? I can tell stories and I can make art. I'm going to try to do that every day, and I'm going to try to do something to encourage somebody else to make more art or encourage people to just feel better about themselves or be kinder. And so I kind of just, in my own like little corner of the internet, I just decided I'm just going to try to just be a little bit Mr. Rogers, or like the story where I said, you know, be like the two Rogers, you know? I'm just trying to be a better person and try to instill that in others. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a perfect person, but if I could at least do some kindness every day, even if I can't control what's going on with our finances or our movie or whether we ever travel again or COVID or our kids or whatever, I could at least control how much kindness I show to people every day. And so I think that was just a way of me kind of getting some control back in my life, is to just show kindness in some way. And so that's what I'll be doing this year.
What Else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Original music by Jason Roy. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
Scott, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time.
That was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Corey. Thank you for that story. That's really going to sit with me for a while.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.